Welcome to Come Let Us Reason, the radio broadcast of Multimedia Apologetics, featuring science teacher and Christian apologist Dan Cody. Dan is the pastor of the Second Congregational Church in Winston. The program presents the biblical, scientific, and historic evidence which affirm the truth of Christianity. Stay tuned for how to get a copy of this program. Now come let us reason for the next few minutes with your host, science teacher, and Christian apologist, Pastor Dan Cody.
Is Jesus the Son of God? Certainly, if he is the Son of God, we must consider what he says very carefully. In the next two programs, we will consider the evidence and reasoning that leads to the conclusion that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Jesus' ministry, teaching, and work are described in the New Testament. In a previous program, we presented evidence which shows that the New Testament is the most reliable book of the ancient world. The New Testament is corroborated by 6,000 ancient manuscripts and fragments, far more than any other book of the ancient world, and these copies and fragments are close in date to the original documents. The New Testament is affirmed by scores of archaeological discoveries, and it contains multiple eyewitness accounts of Jesus' ministry. A more in-depth discussion of the evidence for the reliability of the New Testament can be found on our webpage archive of previous broadcast. With an understanding that the New Testament is a reliable book, we will move on to the evidence that leads us to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. Now let's turn to the question we began with, and that is Jesus the Son of God as Christianity claims? If he isn't, you don't have to worry about what he has to say. But if he is, as I believe the evidence will clearly show, then he knows things the rest of us do not know, because his origin is with God in eternity. If Jesus is the Son of God, his words have great import and should be carefully studied and considered. A number of lines of reasoning lead us to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. We will consider these in this program and the next. I have heard it said by skeptics, Jesus never claimed to be God. His followers made that up after he died. The evidence is quite to the contrary. We learned earlier that the New Testament is the most reliable book of the ancient world. Consider what Jesus says about himself in the New Testament. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says that he is one with God. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus claims to be the Christ or the Messiah. The Jews understood that he was claiming to be God in the flesh, so they tried to kill him. Mark records this exchange between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Tearing his clothes, the high priest said, What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. In a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus tells her plainly that he is the Messiah, as is recorded in John chapter 4, verses 24 to 26, which read, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Again, speaking to the religious leaders of his day, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. The only way that Jesus could have existed before Abraham, who lived on earth over 2,000 years before him, is if he were God. Jesus clearly believed that he was God, and he made that fact abundantly clear to other people. Moreover, Jesus' disciples recognized his divinity on a number of occasions. The Apostle Peter affirmed Jesus' divinity when Jesus asked Peter who he thought he was. Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, responds to Jesus as follows, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world, as recorded in John chapter 11, verse 27. Sending a message down through the ages, the Apostle John says that he wrote his gospel so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John says in chapter 20 of his gospel, Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Those who followed Jesus during his life believed that he was the Son of God. Furthermore, in extensive writings, the early church leaders who came after the apostles and were acquainted with the apostles affirmed their belief that Jesus was the Son of God. Clement, who was the leader of the church in Rome, about 30 years after Peter was martyred, wrote, "Let us reverence Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was given for us." Ignatius of Antioch wrote in about AD 105, "Continue in intimate union with Jesus Christ our God." So we see that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the disciples believed that he was the Son of God, and the church leaders who followed after the apostles continued steadfast in the belief that Jesus was the Son of God. The truth that Jesus is the Son of God is also affirmed by his astonishing fulfillment of the messianic prophecies, as has been discussed in several recent programs, which may be accessed on our webpage. Jesus fulfilled many of the prophecies about the Messiah at his first coming. Those that are unfulfilled at this time will be fulfilled at his future second coming, which he promised. As noted in an earlier program, the probability that a single person could fulfill just 48 of the messianic prophecies is 1 chance in 10 raised to the 157th power. This, of course, is an incredibly small probability. Suffice it to say that the chances of one person in the entire history of the world fulfilling all of the messianic prophecies is virtually zero, unless the events were orchestrated by some outside agent, which in this case would have to be God. Given Jesus' fulfillment of all of the messianic prophecies against tremendous odds, it is difficult to see why so many do not recognize his identity. Jesus truly must be the Messiah, God in the flesh. The probabilities compel us in that direction. Finally, Jesus' ability to do miracles prove that he is the Son of God. The New Testament, which has been shown to be reliable in a previous program, documents the many miracles performed by Jesus. It is important to remember that the New Testament authors had nothing to gain by claiming that Jesus performed miracles. Have you heard any stories about the great wealth and power amassed by Matthew, John, Peter, Paul, and the rest? I am sure you haven't, because there aren't any. Being a Christian in the first couple of centuries was not a good career move. Many early Christians died horrific deaths for their beliefs and claims. The New Testament includes eyewitness accounts of about 35 instantaneous miracles performed by Jesus, often before hundreds of watching people. The New Testament tells us that Jesus healed the sick and the blind, controlled natural forces, and was able to raise people from the dead. Jesus was able to turn water into wine and to feed thousands with a few fishes and loaves. As amazing as these miracles seem, they would be easy for the Son of God. The Apostle John tells us in his Gospel that everything that exists was created through Jesus. So healing sick people, or controlling the natural forces that he created, would not have been a big challenge for him. One such miracle was raising a dead man, and is recorded in John chapter 11. Before raising Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, Jesus said to Martha, one of Lazarus's sisters, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Jesus prayed and commanded Lazarus to come out of his tomb. The New Testament records the following account. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus did this amazing miracle to show that he was sent by God. Jesus changed many hearts and minds that day. The Apostle John goes on to say, "Many of the Jews put their faith in him after witnessing this great miracle. Only the Son of God, God in the flesh, could do such things." So let's summarize. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. The disciples and the early church leaders that came after the disciples believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecy showing that he was sent by God. Jesus was able to perform miracles demonstrating that he was the Son of God. We cannot avoid the conclusion that Jesus is God in the flesh. Next time, we will consider the compelling evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. But from what we have discussed thus far, we are left with clear evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. The question for each of us now is, how will we respond to the evidence? Jesus stands at the door of your heart. It is up to you to decide if you will open the door to him. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Access to heaven comes only through faith in the Son. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. In his first coming, Jesus came as a servant and a sacrificial lamb, dying on a cross, so that all who repent of their sins and receive him are given the right to become children of God. If you have not received Jesus, now is the appointed time, for he could return at any moment. When Jesus next returns, he will come as a conquering king, but then it will be too late to receive him. Turn to Christ in this very moment, repent of your sins, and believe in him, and he promises that you will be with him in his heaven for eternity. The New Testament paints a grim picture of the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus. The charismatic leader they had followed for 3 years was crucified like a common criminal, and those who followed him were in fear for their own lives. What could have motivated the disciples to risk their lives, in many cases going to their deaths, because they would not stop proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead? We will examine that question in our next program as we continue to consider the evidence for the truth of the resurrection.
Thanks for listening to Come Let Us Reason, the radio broadcast of Multimedia Apologetics with science teacher and apologist Dan Cody. Dan is the pastor of the Second Congregational Church in Winston. For an audio file of this broadcast and a book that defends the truth of Christianity, visit our website at multimediaapologetics.com. This program remains on the air through the prayers and support of our listeners. To support the program, you may donate on our secure website at multimediaapologetics.com. That's multimediaapologetics.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us at CLUR for Come Let Us Reason, CLURtoday@gmail.com. We look forward to receiving your comments and questions. The address again, CLURtoday@gmail.com. And join Pastor Dan Cody next week for another broadcast of Come Let Us Reason on Life Changing Radio.